Now, I'm just going to, I know your emphasis is really focusing on technical analysis, if I understand it correctly, but certainly you've mentioned market sentiment and fundamentals. When you're looking at doing your reporting, without just ignoring fundamentals and market sentiment, how do you have a balance on that when you're doing your reports?
That's an excellent question. In the here and the now, you have to have a fundamentals because that's going to give you the 50,000-foot view of the market. So going into a season right now, we'll run through an example right now. So we're at a situation now in the crude oil market where, given the changeover and what we're about to start to see when credit begins to dry up, because the banks are going to do their redetermination on credit facilities for E&P companies, we know credit liquidity is about to dry up. We know what's going to happen, that CapEx has been cut, but it's going to be cut even further in the fourth quarter and the first quarter, which then is going to lead to even a greater pullback in rigs and a greater pullback in production. So we all know that. But that is simply a North American story. So that's a very key, important fundamental, but it's a very regional fundamental. If we look up beyond the borders of Canada and the United States, we certainly have the situation of Saudi Arabia and Iran are going to be spending all of next year fighting for market share. How do you fight for market share? You undercut your competitor. So even though we're looking at a rather bloody events that are about to take place in the North American oil patch, globally, the fight for market share between Iran and Saudi Arabia is just now starting to get underway. So that's the fundamental. But how do you make decisions now with regard to these known fundamentals? Because as we said before, I could be the best fundamental analyst out there. In 13, 14, 15 months, I could ultimately be correct. But if I ignore that noise in between, I'm going to go broke 50 times over before I even get out there. So this is where the quantitative and the technical analysis comes in, because as we said before, when we could look at, we're looking at the price path of a given commodity, and that price path is a graphical representation of how the market is reacting to these events. Because, David, we all know what the fundamentals are, right? We already know that there is a global oversupply of oil, that we're probably producing globally in excess of 3 million barrels a day beyond demand. We know that's probably going to continue through next year because, as I said, the fight between Saudi Arabia and Iran. We know globally, economically, that the world is certainly challenged. We know that things in China are certainly not all rainbows and unicorns. And here in the United States, on this side of the world, well, Canada's in recession, Brazil is in recession. I happen to think that the United States is, if we're not in recession now, we're certainly on the cusp of a recession here. So we know demand is going to suffer. Let's cut to the chase. Fundamentals, looking at 2016, we're still going to look at a global glut of oil relative to the demand. So we all know that. But how do we know? What we don't know is, are all of these fundamentals already priced in to the barrel of oil?
Right.
And that's what we don't know. And that's where we require looking at the price path. Where has support been before? Where is resistance now? Going forward, fundamentally, we know what's about to change, that the entire global system of oil pricing has changed, where we're now looking at potentially year after year of oil in that $45 to $55 range. Well, 2 years ago, budgets around the globe were being set upon $75, $85, $95 oil. So that has completely changed. So now we appreciate the economics will begin to change. And so what we're looking at now, the technicals and the quants are giving us a preview of what the future price of oil is going to look like. So we look at the fundamentals as a backdrop. We rely on the technicals and the quantitative analysis to tell us where the market is, the market correctly valued, and in which potential, where's our support and where's our resistance, and this is where we set our trading and buying and selling decisions upon.
Okay, so as an analyst, how do you think we can make the markets better so end users can become more active in managing energy?
Well, certainly they can be more attentive to the tools that are out there and available to them. There has been an explosion in derivative contracts that allow the end user to go to a provider and lock in their exposure. Now, hedging has always been kind of that, you know, has always been frowned upon by usually heavy industry, usually by transportation companies, specifically the airlines. It was always considered something that management never wanted to bring up, a hedged mark-to-market portfolio, because if the market is hedged correctly, then that part of the portfolio is always going to be technically out of the money because, again, you've locked in the exposure on your BTUs. So from an analysis standpoint, there certainly is, I think, the opportunity to educate the end user on the value of hedging and certainly and on the particular tools that can be employed to cover a company's exposure to what promises to be a very volatile 2016 in pricing.